This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Greetings to our listening audience from Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. Thank you for joining us today, and we invite you to join us again next Sunday for worship with us.
Before living the Christian life, you must know Jesus Christ personally. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we may truly sing, "My Jesus, I love you. I know you are mine. For you all the follies of sin I resign." May that be our primary reason for living, to live for Jesus, and then watch it as it causes us to be better people in our society, better parents, better children, better citizens. Speak to us through your word this day. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Friends in Christ, before living the Christian life, you must first know Jesus Christ. Let me say that once more. Before living the Christian life, you first have to know Christ. That may cause you to ask, are you saying that one cannot be a good person that is trustworthy, moral, and kind without knowing Jesus Christ? No, that's not my intentions. We all know that there are people who make no confession of faith as far as Jesus is concerned, but are very good people. They're moral. You trust them. They're the first ones who would come around if you needed any help. They're just nice, good neighbors, but they don't have Christ. Their whole understanding of life, as far as what is right and what is wrong, can, at least in the motivating part, be quite different from that of a Christian person. The Christian lives out of love for Jesus Christ, who first loved him. Now, this is very biblical. St. John wrote it in his little letter. We love because he first loved us. You see, if we sin, we turn to Christ, and we confess our sins, and he forgives us. We don't lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps. He does the lifting up. He empowers us. He encourages us. He sends the sin away from us. And that we once again live in that grace, trying, empowered by him to overcome those shortcomings that we have. The moral person lives by a list of laws. Doesn't live out of love for any particular person necessarily. And if he does, that person does not have the power to really help him, like Jesus has the power to help us. He lives by a list of laws and ethics, and that are good and makes him a fine person, except all of the strength has to come from his own being. That's quite different. Let me try to illustrate. When I was a kid, I had a good friend, and he and I joined the Boy Scouts together. And all of us have the greatest of respect for the Boy Scouts and what they have meant to so many millions of people throughout the years. I enjoyed my days in the Boy Scouts, and I'm sure my friend did too. When we were in the Boy Scouts, we learned the Scout Oath and the Scout Laws and so forth, be true and all the rest of this, and we wanted to live by it. Now, I went to Sunday school, and I went to church, and I had a home where the Bible was open, and consequently, I would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and because I loved him, since he loved me and died for me, he was the one I was living for. My friend was living to keep the rules that he had learned. I was living for a Savior who died for me. There's a tremendous difference in those two. Now today, when I talk to you in this last of four sermons on a particular passage of Scripture that we have been dealing with, I talk to you about living the Christian life. That is, living a life out of love for Jesus Christ. And when you and I sin, we know it is our Savior that we have to turn to, and he gives us comfort and forgiveness. St. Paul put it so well. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. When Jesus is your Lord, you are a different person. Not that you are completely sanctified, not at all. You're in the process of becoming sanctified. But we are different people. The stronger our faith is, the more Christ-like we will become. And we will not only sing living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, but we have Jesus Christ in our hearts, and he is the one who's making the difference. Now, in this last of the four sermons to which I have just referred, I'd like to summarize the story with you and then get into the specific passage that deals with today. If you were not with us on the other three Sundays, or just one or two of the others, then let me tell you that the account in John 5, the first 13, 14 verses, tells of a paralytic man who lay at the pool of Bethesda. And they had a belief that if you could get in that water while an angel of the Lord was stirring it, you would be healed. The problem was that this man could hardly move, and when he attempted to get into the water first, there would be someone who would go down and get ahead of him, and for 38 years, he had never gotten into the water at the right time. Well, Jesus comes along, and he looked at him and he said, "You want to be healed?" And I'm sure that the man thought, what a silly question. And we spent a Sunday on this particular topic, so we'll move over from there. The picture that we have now is that a person is helpless. We have the picture that a society doesn't give him very high priority to helping him. We have another picture that Jesus comes along and heals him. He just tells him, pick up your mat and walk. And that's where we find ourselves today. So the man was healed, physically speaking. And he was so happy. He walked among the crowd, and pretty soon he came in contact with the priests and the Pharisees. And they said, "What are you doing carrying this cot? Don't you know it's the Sabbath day?" And the man said, "Well, I don't know. But one thing I do know, that a man healed me. And he told me to pick up my mat and walk, and that's what I'm doing." "Who is this man?" they wanted to know. And he said, "Well, I don't know. He got lost in the crowd as soon as he healed me. I haven't even had a chance to thank him." So they went looking for Jesus, and the man went on his way. Now, sometime later, whether it was the same day, whenever it might have been, could have been weeks later, Jesus was in the temple, and he ran into this man. He was so happy. It says here in verse 14 of John 5, "Later Jesus found him at the temple, and he said, 'See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you.' The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well." Now let's spend a little bit of time on that particular scene that is painted for us here today. It is easy to tell when that man was healed physically. He couldn't walk, and then all of a sudden he could walk. He could become a part of the crowd. He could be happy and joyful and all the rest. Now, was he healed spiritually? Because there's every indication that his life, before he landed at the pool of Bethesda, had been lived in a life of sin. And that sin could have caused him to be helpless. The best way to illustrate that for me today would be an alcoholic. An alcoholic is helplessly going along life's way, waiting for the next drink. And then by the grace of God, through AA or whatever it may be, he becomes sober. But the warning is always with him. Don't take that next drink, because if you do, you'll go right back, you can go right back at least, to the first state, and it will be worse than it was even before you started to drink at all. So that's just an example of this man could go back to where he was in his sinful life. That's why I believe my interpretation on this meeting of Jesus with the man in the temple is this: boy, am I ever, ever happy to see you. You're here in the temple. This is exactly the place that you ought to be. Here you will find friends who will help you. Here you'll get a new look at life. Here you will be surrounded with the teachings of my word that will strengthen you and comfort you and make you an entirely different person. But if you get outside of this, if you go back to your old cronies, things will not be so good. So then there is this indication that the man had come from a life of sin, and Jesus was pleading with him not to return to it, and the way that he would not have to return to it was to let Jesus continually feed him in the Word of God that was found in the temple. Okay, there's a word here for people of all ages, including you and me. And that is, live close to Christ, and you will grow spiritually. Walk away from Him, and you will lose it all. And that this Word of God that feeds us and makes us strong spiritually is never changing. It is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's just the way it is. It's strange, but through the years, 2,000 years of Christianity, people have wanted to add something to it or subtract something from this word. Some wanted to say that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ plus works. That was adding to the Word of God. Nothing could have been farther from the truth. And so in the Reformation, we learned that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And the works come as a fruit of faith. And that is what God is teaching us in this portion of Scripture that is ours today. Now we live in a day where they're not adding something, but rather they're taking something away from the Word of God in some parts of the Scriptures. And then again, I guess you'd have to say they're still back to the old idea of adding. Let me give you an example. The gospel is very clear. It says that we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus himself has said, I am the way to the Father. Now, we live in a world, and I know this is somewhat repetitious, that is getting smaller, and people of all other religions are getting closer, and they are saying, but I have a way too. Now, the good American way is probably, I hope it isn't just the American way, but the way is that, well, we've got to include all of these people. Now, I know we have to include them as far as our living from day to day, but what I believe, Jesus has said, no, there is one way to heaven, and that is through faith in me. They want to change this just a little bit from Jesus saying, I am the way, to I am a way. But it makes all the difference in the world. Now you've got many kinds of religions, and they're all fine, and we're all going to live together as one happy lot, religiously speaking. No, we can live together. We can play ball together. We can go to school together. We can work together. We can be good neighbors together. But in Jesus Christ alone, we have the way to heaven. That cannot change. Now we are finding that they say, well, there's a law. And that has got to change. And it has changed from time to time. I recognize it has changed from time to time. And we were in error in changing it from time to time. And should make amends on this. But we have another amendment that is being made at the present time. And that is that the practice of sexuality is all right. Now the Word of God says it isn't. All you have to do is turn to Romans 1, and it clearly says that the practice, not the orientation, but the practice of homosexuality is sin. It's what God's word says. You can't change it. And then when some come back and say, but you have to change it, because you have to have it meet demands and the wishes of society. And at this point, we have to say, can't do. Can't do. I have to be true to what the Word of God has said to me. This is what the Word of God is telling us. And I believe this is what Jesus was saying to that paralytic. You stay here in the temple. That word is eternal. It was given to us It continues to be with us, and it will be with us even into 2001. And that includes you and me. Neither law nor gospel can be adjusted to fit into our culture. It is God's word that molds us and makes us live according to his will. And we are not to change his will. I'm reading a very interesting book by Lee Iacocca, the brilliant businessman who did so much to change the automobile industry and made it very, very successful wherever his advice was followed. Certainly we have the greatest of respect for a man like Lee Iacocca in the automobile business world. At least I do, as far as I know. But he writes this little book, and he has an interesting paragraph in there, which I'm sure that Mr. Iacocca never intended, and it never should be, applied to the church. Here is what he writes. You cannot lose if you follow the market. For much of America's auto history, the industry has had a wrong approach to the market. They said, we'll decide which cars to build, and then we will convince the people that they want and need them. Then someone comes up with a bright idea. Why don't we find out what kind of cars the customer wants and the customer needs, and then we will build them? In other words, the market is what is going to tell us what to build. Mr. Iacocca has been very successful in his business life, and this advice to let the people find out what kind of cars they want and need and then build them has proven successful in the car industry. But it cannot be applied to the Christian message, that is, the law and the gospel. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we cannot go to the market and say, well, how do you want this adjusted? We're going to fit this just so that you have a religion of your own. And then you will flock to the churches and we'll have another great day until some other change comes along. Jesus is saying, live in the word. Take it as it is. Trust me as your Savior, and all will be well. That is the application of this miracle that we have been studying for the last 4 weeks. Be careful that you remain with that word. For if you go away from that word, you can revert to your sinful lifestyle, and something worse, according to Jesus, will happen to you. So it's been a wonderful opportunity for me to live with you during these last 4 Sundays in this portion of God's word. Live with him. We are helpless. There's no question about it. We cannot save ourselves. Don't expect too much change, even from those of us who are born-again Christians. I have a friend who was 30 years old before he came to church for the first time. A great man, but no one ever invited him. They jumped in front on a Sunday morning and went to church themselves, but never thought of him. You know, that's what we can expect. It's too bad. But I guess we have to be practical and admit that the church is not doing a great deal in many parts of America in reaching out to those who are the downtrodden, spiritually speaking. They may be multimillionaires, but they do not know Jesus. But you have a Savior who will meet you in the Word, in the religious broadcasts, in the churches, in the Sunday school. And as you live with that word, you will become a new person. My prayer for you, my friend, is that you will be able to sing after days and weeks and years with Jesus. My Jesus, I love you. I know you are mine. For you all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious, my Savior, my Redeemer art thou. If ever I love you, my Jesus, it's now. That's what Jesus teaches us today. Follow him, and you'll have a great life. Amen.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior,
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are so patient and so kind, that you are able to take us where we are, as you did that man, the paralytic, by this pool of Bethesda. Be with us and strengthen us and make us great people. We know, Lord, that this is an interesting story. But in that story, we find ourselves. Grant that it may all be to the honor and the glory of your holy name. And grant that this gospel, which is forever the same, may go to the far corners of the earth today and tomorrow. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray today's gospel message will fill you with the energy of the Spirit for the week ahead. This Memorial Day, Christian Crusaders invite you to make a memorial gift to our ministry. This gift can be made in any amount and is a meaningful way to honor the memory of someone special to you. Please direct all your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Also appropriate for Memorial Day, as we remember those who have passed, is Fear Not, I Am With You, Volume 3 in Reverend Larson's DVD video sermon series, Basic Biblical Truths. Listen to Reverend Larson discuss Isaiah 43:1. For fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. What a comfort to know that God is with us in times of fear, just as he was with those who walked with him in biblical times. In this video, we hear how having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ makes all the difference, for in times of trouble, we'll know the one to whom we can turn. Call 1-888-693-2484 to order this DVD, for a suggested donation of $10, or online at christiancrusaders.org. If you'd like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH, 1-888-693-2484, or direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 74th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.